Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
God bless America. God bless America. I mean that wholeheartedly. I am proud to be an American. I love America. I love the promise, the idea, the ideals of America. I believe it to be the best place it's ever been in the history of the world, of humanity, all those things. I believe that to be true. And here we are on the 24th anniversary of 9/11, which is a lot to process and take in alone. And then we had what happened, what's happened over the past couple of days, the past 2 days, and whether it's culminating or topped off, or however you want to think about it. I don't even know how I necessarily want to think about it, but they killed Charlie Kirk yesterday. And so what I was going to talk about today was going to explore whether it's easier to hold on or to let go. Is it harder to hold on or to let go? So I think a very interesting conversation to be had. And I was going to do that in the context or the backdrop of 9/11 and talk about my brother, John, which I still intend to do. That being said, want to talk about Charlie Kirk. I want to talk about a lot of things in hopefully a very thoughtful way. So I'm grateful. Thank you for giving me your time and attention, some of it. So just on its face, do you think it's easier to hold on or to let go? As individuals, we are always advocating for our problems. We are in love with our limitations and our problems. We love being a victim. We love talking about how trauma that happened to us decades ago or years ago or hours ago is informing everything that we're doing today. So in a lot of ways, I think it's really difficult for us human beings to let go of things. We can hold on to these things for years and years and years. We advocate for our limitations. We are in love with our problems. We hold on to the worst things that ever happened to us, even if they are not coming anywhere close to serving us. This doesn't benefit me at all, yet I'm still clutching to it. We stay in relationships for too long, or we pull the ripcord and bail out too fast. I think that we human beings, I know, that we human beings are super messy. We are fallen. We are flawed. We are all sinners. We sin. We have desires. We have unmet needs. We have frustrations. We experience loss. We all experience great happiness and bliss and ecstasy and pain. It's the human condition. The human condition. To hurt ourselves, to hurt others, to love ourselves, to love others, to muddle through all of it, try to find purpose and try to find meaning. So individually, we're doing that. And as a society, I think that we're doing the same. Instead of advocating for our own problems and limitations and poor experiences, we tolerate certain behaviors. We look at other human beings as not as capable as we are sympathetic to human beings that are in what we perceive to be a lesser position. They do not have the capacity to change the circumstances of their lives. We feel guilt. We are guilty of past indiscretions, and that's carried forward. And we tolerate, and then we get what we tolerate. We tolerate open-air drug use. We tolerate homelessness. And our cities turn to cesspools where our brothers and sisters kill themselves with synthetic drugs on the streets. Eventually, we reach a limit, which I believe that we've done. And we need to make the decision. Do we hold on or do we let go? So how does one balance that out? How do you make the decision of hold on to this or let go of it and walk away? In a chronically leaking vessel, perhaps changing vessels is the better way to go versus trying to patch leaks. I don't know. Holding on takes constant energy, sustaining a relationship that's difficult, clinging on to an old belief, keeping a habit that's just killing you. It's like carrying around this incredible backpack or this heavy backpack. And even though you adapt and you figure out how to carry it, it's still crushing you. It's still slowly but surely killing you. Letting go is more of a singular event. It's making the jump. It's painful and scary in the moment. You're leaving something behind that's familiar, that you care for, that you even love, even if it's not serving you. But once you've done it, the weight is gone and you can move on more freely. Rip the Band-Aid off. So easier versus harder. It's hard. It's difficult. If the thing in question, you're trying to decide, do I hold on to or let go? If it has deep value, I love it. There's a purpose behind it. I have an identity tied to it. Holding on feels very natural. Then letting go feels like you're ripping something up by roots and you're chopping down a 100-year-old tree. But if that thing has lost its value, the real difficulty comes from our own resistance, fear of regret, fear of emptiness, fear of loneliness, fear of the unknown. We human beings do not like uncertainty. What will the future hold if I move on from this? So it's not like we're just hand-wringing over trivial stuff. It's when things are important and they become who we are, then it's, am I being served by holding on to this thing, or am I better served by letting go of it? And human beings have been struggling with this forever. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a new thing. Buddhism, I mean, its central thing is detachment. Detach. Its central thing is life is suffering. All life is suffering. And the solution to that is to detach from the suffering. So from a Buddhist perspective, it's not apathetic to let go. It is the hardest thing in the world to cultivate that level of detachment so that I'm not no longer bothered by this thing. Stoics talk about control. Some things are up to us, but most things aren't. So letting go means releasing concern for what isn't within our control. Things you hold on to, it's the only thing that we really have control over. It's our own choices, our judgment, our character, our values, our virtue. And certainly psychology, we ruminate on things. We research a lot about rumination. And when we decide or discover that we're holding on to anger, regret, criticism, it's an unhealthy thing for us, obviously mentally, but even physically. So it's things that you should probably let go of, stuff I should let go of, envy, anger and resentment, regret, the desire, our need to control things, perfectionism, bitterness, old versions of ourselves, our identity. We should stop comparing ourselves. We should stop being afraid of failure. We should stop making excuses for things. What about things that you should hold on to? Integrity, your commitments to your family, your community, promises you've made, principles, curiosity, gratitude, resilience, courage, faith, and hope. Got to hold on to faith and hope. Got to hold on to love and kindness. Need to hold on to self-respect. So maybe you think about, let go of what corrodes. Let go of what is confining. Let go of what is distracting. Hold on to what sustains you, to what uplifts you, to your true north, to those things that actually direct who you are. And think about it like pruning a tree. Cut back on the envy and the resentment and fear so the branches of the good things I was just talking about can have resources to grow. So whenever we're holding on to something and focused on something, it's negative stuff, it's extracting resources from us. And so letting those things go, it allows us to be healthier, move on to a better tomorrow.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
So I had a whole exercise I was going to go through to sort of give steps, step by step, as I like to do, talking about how to actually make decisions on what we're better served holding on to and letting go of. But here we are. These things happened. I mean, I think that in a lot of ways, 9/11 was the original sin for my life. I think for many others, the Kennedy assassination, the moon landing, World War I, World War II, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, there's so many different things. But for my generation, I'm 46 years old. I think that for my generation, 9/11 was maybe the seminal event or moment. And looking back on it, I do believe the original sin. I don't know what's real and what's not. But I do know that 9/11 pushed us into a war on terror that lasted for a really long time. I know that 9/11 gave us the Patriot Act and surveillance and overreach. I know that 9/11 caused immeasurable death and destruction all over the world that cost the lives of many Americans and many human beings all over the world. It cost treasure. I'm sure you could easily trace back to 2001 from where we are 24 years later with an out of control national debt. Probably all responsible there. And for me and my family, that was the catalyzing event that caused my brother to enlist in the United States Army. And he did so and became a combat medic and was deployed to Iraq 2 times. And I mean, I couldn't have been prouder of him. Sort of a Pat Tillman kind of story that John enlisted later in life and went and did those things. And John and I always had a complicated relationship, as I think all siblings do and family members do. And I spent many years questioning whether I should hold on or let go. Of John, he struggled with a lot of demons, many. as we all do. But John was touched or affected a lot more strongly and struggled with substance abuse and just mental health and a lot of really, really tough stuff. And it was a major strain on a relationship for a really long time. The happy ending to all of it was that when he did finally come through all of it and he retired from the army and he found happiness, which couldn't have made me any happier. And I know I've talked about this a lot and I'm rehashing it and it makes me sad, which is just a sign that I'm a human being. And I'll certainly never not be sad about John, but he found happiness. He found Heather, his wife, and now his widow. And they made a life. Unfortunately, it was cut short because while he was in Iraq, he contracted skin cancer. And his mental health and post-traumatic stress caused him to not get treatment. So he got cancer. It metastasized, went all over his body, and he valiantly fought it for many years before finally succumbing to it at the beginning of 2020. So I place that at the feet of 9/11. Why it's the original sin for me in my life, not just for the country, but also for my family. So many bad things. And I think that looking back over this period of time now, so many of our institutions have become corrupted. The media certainly corrupted. I think the educational system has been corrupted. Food, healthcare. I think that the government itself, maybe it's always been corrupted, but I think that the last 24 years have shown bright light on the rampant corruption and everything that we've been going through over the past however many years it's been. It's all running together for all of us. We're all exhausted. We're all fatigued by all of it. But when something has become corrupted, is it wise to hold on or to let it go? And that is the central question to all of this. If something has been so thoroughly and completely corrupted, does it make sense to walk away from it, start something new, or does it make sense to look at what is there and to make a decision about whether or not it makes sense to fix, to patch, to repair? So what does it mean to be American? What is the promise of America? What does it mean to be an American? And I think through that lens, we can look and talk about what happened with Charlie Kirk. And as I'm sure Charlie Kirk would have liked, come up with the way forward. I mean, our country has produced so many wondrous things. And we also have a government that's abdicated its responsibilities. I love my country. I hate my government. Talk about what it means to be American. I think it means that we have citizenship and that we have law. And our most formal level, being American, means holding U.S. citizenship and being part of the political community. It's having rights protected by the Constitution, and it's honoring our responsibilities like paying taxes, participating in civic life, and doing jury duty when we're called to do it. The second thing is a promise of ideals. Life, liberty, equality, self-determination. Jefferson wrote that all men were created equal. Lincoln said the nation was conceived in liberty. MLK reminded us that America was built on a promissory note of justice for all. So living here is partly about wrestling with how close we are to those ideals and how far we fall short. I think a third principle is that of diversity and belonging. We've never been one culture. Being American doesn't mean one thing. It's a patchwork quilt, waves of immigrants, different centuries, different decades, indigenous people, all reshaping what America and our country means. E pluribus unum, out of many, one, is on the great seal of our country for a reason. I think that part of being an American means opportunity and struggle, the American dream, the idea that hard work can create a better life no matter where you start. And some see that dream as thriving, others see it as fading, but the striving itself, ambition, resilience, reinvention has always been part of our character. It's a conversation, not a destination. Being American, it's not a settled identity. It's an ongoing debate and conversation. And every generation is going to approach and ask that question again. And the answer shifts. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's beautiful, but it's always in motion. I want to talk a little bit more about E pluribus unum. It's a Latin phrase. It's a heavy one. Again, it's out of many, one. And originally, the many meant the original 13 colonies, and the one was the United States. And it was first proposed for the Great Seal in 1776 and finally made its way on there in 1782. I think that over time, its meaning has expanded. We talk a lot about diversity, but it's also really about unity. America would never be one people by bloodline or ancestry, but we have a shared commitment to an ideal that's so critical. We're different, but we share the vision and the belief in that ideal. We got the phrase the melting pot in the 19th and 20th centuries, all these different people coming from different places coming together. And we have this balancing act and constant tension with how you preserve your individual rights and individualism with the pluralism while still keeping the whole thing spinning. Why would it be easy? Most places that have attempted this have failed, and we've come to a point in the conversation where is it easier to hold on or is it easier to let go?
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. Coda riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist Coda customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at coda.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
So, in 1956, In God We Trust became the official United States model, but E Pluribus Unum never went away. It's on our coins, it's passports, it's on federal buildings. And I think that there are people that would argue that in today's very polarized culture, the phrase is more aspirational than descriptive. Can Americans still be one out of many when the differences seem to be so loud? But here's a friendly reminder that America was never about sameness. It was about weaving many threads together that could hold together. An individual thread is not very strong. When you put hundreds or thousands or millions together, it becomes extremely strong. And that's the reciprocity that is so critical and is so important. E pluribus unum doesn't have to stop at many people forming one nation. It can also be many lives, each distinct, flourishing alongside one another without erasing any differences. So it's side by side, not merged. Each citizen has space to pursue our own version of the American dream while recognizing that our pursuit is made possible by the stability, laws, and trust maintained by everyone else. We need mutual recognition that my freedom depends on respecting your freedom. If I want to build, if I want to create, if I want a prosperous life, implicitly, I need you to have the same chance, even if your dream looks nothing like mine. So it's all about opportunity, the commons of opportunity. Out of the many private goals come one shared fabric of public life: roads, schools, the fire department, courts, elections, where our efforts overlap and reinforce one another. So I think it's okay to think about E Pluribus Unum less as a melting pot and more as a reciprocal ecosystem, a place, a nation, where we don't have to dream the same dream, but we do have to honor the conditions that let all dreams coexist. I don't want what you want. I don't want the same as everybody has. I don't want the same experience. I don't want the same relationships. I don't want the same food. I don't want the same feelings. In fact, there are very few things that you have that I really want. I want the ability to pursue what I want, and I want you to have the ability to pursue what you want, unencumbered by anything. I want freedom without obstruction. I don't have to crave what you have. I just want the real chance to go after what I want, what I desire, without unnecessary barriers. So we have these parallel pursuits. You walk your path, I walk mine. The legitimacy of your dream doesn't diminish mine. And to make that happen, we need to form a covenant of restraint. The only rule is that neither of us tries to block or distort the other pursuit. That's the reciprocity part. It's not about sameness, but mutual non-interference. I find this to be, and think about it as a radical form of respect. I don't need to control or copy you. I only need to know that my pursuit is possible and yours is too. And from that, one emerges, not because we all seek the same outcome, but because we share the same liberty to try. And when you're in need, I'll be there to help you. When you are in need, I will be there to help you. So it's not mutual non-interference. It's not live and let live. It's mutual responsibility that I'll step in when you need me. And that's where the unum gets its depth and weight. So it's not just coexistence. It's not enough that I leave you alone. Being American also means I recognize when your pursuit falters and you need a hand, and I am there to lend you that hand. We need to preserve dignity. I don't help you so you'll owe me, or that so you'll live my dream. I help so you can get back to chasing your dream. Do you see how that makes it stronger? We are weaving it together. If everyone knows that somebody will step up when the bottom falls out, and that's not the effing government, then all of us can take bolder risks, dream bigger, and push further. It's a covenant. Out of many, one. Because when one stumbles, the many carry them until they're strong again. The American dream. It's freedom to pursue. That each person is free to chase their own version. That each person is free to chase their own vision of a good life, not someone else's dream, not a government-issued template, not a copy of the neighbor's success, just the clear chance to go after what matters most to you. We have to have respect for other people's paths. Your pursuit doesn't diminish mine, and mine doesn't threaten yours. We stand side by side, not in competition for worth, but in recognition that a million different dreams can coexist. We embrace reciprocity and need. When your path is blocked by bad luck, hardship, or loss, I will step in. Not to hand you my dream, but to help you get back on your feet so you can walk towards your own dream. And I trust that you'll do the same for me. The one in E Pluribus Unum isn't uniformity, it's solidarity. Out of many distinct lives, we create a shared promise. Everyone has a fair shot. No one is left behind when they stumble. That's a vision where liberty isn't lonely. It's made durable by care. A dream that says, you don't have to want what I want, but I'll fight for your right to go after it, and I'll stand with you if you fall. Free to pursue, bound to care. Your dream, my respect, our promise. Liberty with reciprocity. Side by side, stronger as one. Many pursuits, one covenant. Each of those keeps the rhythm of a national idea, but ties freedom to responsibility. To be an American points to the shared framework, liberty, reciprocity, and opportunity. To be an American shifts into how an individual embodies those ideas in daily life. Virtue, faith, strength, kindness, care, hard work, self-reliance. It's a code of character. The threads that have always run through our American story. We have to be living virtuous and godly lives. Thinking back to the Puritans, City on a Hill, to Lincoln's appeals to the better angels of our nature, we Americans have always seen moral grounding as essential to national strength. We take the high road. It's choosing principle over convenience, even when it's harder, or even when it has a higher cost. You stand for what's right, not just what's easy or expedient. Strength must be paired with kindness. The frontier and the factory both demanded toughness, but the social fabric only held because neighbors always showed care to one another. Emerson and Thoreau wrote about hard work and self-reliance. Immigrants lived it. Entrepreneurs still chase it. But when we pair it with community, it avoids sliding into selfishness. We have to know. We have to decide what matters to us, to you, your family, your community. Once you decide, that's the pursuit of happiness in practice. And it's anchored in responsibility to the loved ones, to the place that we call home, to America. So to be an American is to try to weave together those virtues in your own life, knowing that you will fall short sometimes, but aiming at a standard that's both personal and communal. Let's talk about the virtues of an American, what it really means to be an American. It means living with moral grounding, guided by conscience and wisdom beyond just you yourself. It's faith and virtue. It's choosing principle over convenience. Even when it costs you, it's taking the high ground. It's having the courage to stand up, speak out, and to do what's necessary in the face of fear that we all experience. It's being resilient. It's being compassionate. It's firm yet caring. That's strength with kindness. It's being diligent. It's working hard. It's honoring our commitments. It's taking pride in our honest efforts. It's being self-reliant. It's standing on your own 2 feet while being ready to lend a hand when other people stumble. It's putting your family first. It's nurturing and protecting those closest to you, building a foundation of love and loyalty. It's community stewardship. It's contributing to the well-being of neighbors and the common good. It's recognizing that each of us have a civic duty and participating in the life of the Republic, voting, serving, staying informed. It's being grateful and remembering the sacrifices of those who came before us and cherishing the opportunities that are made possible by their sacrifices. It's being generous in spirit. It's welcoming differences. It's respecting diversity and treating other human beings with the dignity that they deserve. It's pursuit of purpose, deciding what matters most, and ordering your life in service of what matters the most. And believing that our future will be better than our past. It's hope.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide children's marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide children's marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Creed of an American, I will live with faith and virtue. I will choose the high ground and act with courage. I will be strong and kind, diligent and self-reliant. I will honor my family, serve my community, and fulfill my civic duty. I will remember with gratitude, welcome others with generosity, and pursue my purpose with hope. Out of many, we are one. And today, we are Charlie Kirk. You know, I've been aware of Charlie Kirk for a long time. You know, he was only 31 years old. Such a young man, such a young person. Been aware of Charlie for a long time, but I never really interacted. I just was aware of him. It's just this past year, maybe 18 months or so, I've really jumped into his work. I've really paid close attention. And I believe that Charlie really, without knowing him, without knowing Charlie Kirk, I believe that he represented and will continue to represent the best among us. Charlie was an advocate. He wasn't a zealot. Charlie engaged. He engaged with anybody willing to engage with him. He debated. He had well-formed, well-thought-out, well-considered ideas. And he debated them. Charlie listened. Charlie persuaded. He changed minds. I think he changed hearts. I think he changed mine. Have you ever considered the difference between being an advocate and being a zealot? Because in a lot of ways, that's what this is about. An advocate assumes a mode of persuasion. Their spirit is that of earnest reason, open to dialogue. The advocate's goal is to win others over through evidence, empathy, and shared values. Their posture is, come with me, let me show you why this matters. And they have the flexibility to listen and the willingness to listen and to adapt and even compromise without betraying their cause. What about the zealot? Their mode is to mandate, to impose. Their spirit is fervent, rigid, unwilling to hear any form of dissent. Their goal is not just to convince, but to compel, to apply whatever pressure is necessary, to shame, to force. And their posture is, you must follow because no other way is acceptable. There is no flexibility. There's no room for dissent. The advocate respects others' agency, believing truth that or justice will persuade. The zealot distrusts persuasion. They default to pressure, to coercion, because they can't abide the thought of being ignored or opposed. The advocate wants allies. The zealot demands converts. Which is better? Which is better? Which is preferable? Which fits into the framework that I just shared. It's obvious. And Charlie Kirk is all of those things. He is everything that an advocate is, should be, must be. He's honest. You might not like anything that he thinks or says. You might not like anything about him. But you can't deny that he's honest. He's genuine. He's smart. He's well-read. He's thoughtful. He's sincere. He's kind. He's patient. He was. I was sad about this all day yesterday. I'm sad about it today. I'm not enraged. I'm sad and calm. I've been making calls for a return to a high trust society over the past couple of years. Because it's better. I advocate that living in a high trust society is better than the society that we're living in today. So I need to continue making those calls. I need to continue leading in every way that I can. I need to continue leaning in. In some ways, I think that you can look at the difference between... There are builders and there are wreckers. Charlie Kirk was a builder from, I think, 19 years old, maybe 17 years old to 31 years old. He worked tirelessly, timelessly to create something extraordinary. And he did. He created these extraordinary Turning Point USA organizations and movements. And he was such an important person. He built. And then some demonic monster pulled the trigger and killed him. Whether this person had the ability to build and to influence and to do the things that Charlie Kirk did, I don't know. Perhaps we'll find out. But he didn't, or she didn't. They didn't. It's easy to be a critic. It's easy to be a zealot. Doesn't take any work at all. It's hard to do the things that I've been talking about. It's hard to take self-responsibility and to be self-reliant and to be caring and generous and to recognize that I'm on my path, but I need to make sure that other people have the path to run on as well. It's so hard to build. So easy to wreck. These demons couldn't beat Charlie with their ideas. They couldn't beat him with debate. They couldn't beat him with anything. All they could do was kill him. The only way that they could stop him was to kill him. And in many ways, it's just saddest, most disgusting microcosm for so much of what we're going through in society right now. So what's the way forward? Do you believe that it's easier, prudent to let go? Does it make more sense to hold on? Is it better to keep it moving and to continue not paying attention? To allow and just step over people who are killing themselves with drugs in the streets? To keep our heads down and just keep it moving? Is it prudent and wise to continue to allow behavior that's eroding and destroying our high trust society further? That's what we've been doing. As good people, we've been abdicating our responsibility. We've been allowing evil to run rampant. It's not time to let go. It's time to hold on. It's time to stop looking away. It's time to stare it right dead in the eyes. To look at these people and their situations for what they are. Many of our brothers and sisters are unwell. They need our help. They don't want our help, but we need to look at them, to continue looking at them, or to start looking at them as God's children, as our brothers and sisters who have lost their way and are in need of our help. And we need to be courageous and strong enough to give them the help that they need. And I invite you, I implore you to think about some of the things that I've talked about today. What does it mean to be? What is America? What does it mean to be an American? What are you holding on to that you need to let go of? What do you need to hold tighter onto tighter, more tightly? What deserves your focus? What doesn't? I think that if we held on to and committed to one idea and it would really elevate us, what would that be? Would it be safe streets? Would it be following the rule of law? I think that it would. And I think that those are the conditions necessary for a high trust society. And those are the things that we need to stand on once again. all too often, the correct answer is the simplest. And when we try to solve incredibly complex problems with more complexity, we fail. We need to be committed to the founding principles of our country. We need to be committed to what it takes to have a high trust society. And we need to be committed to the rule of law. And we need to be committed to one another and recognizing where our brothers and sisters need help and where they need some different direction. And we need to recognize that in ourselves as well. So, God bless America. God bless and rest in peace, John Grombacher. God bless and rest in peace, Charlie Kirk. And God bless you, brother, sisters.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.